Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, September 27th, and I am reading from the New International Version and then the New Living Translation when we get to the book of Ezekiel. We pick up in the book of James, chapter 2, and the title in my Bible says, Favoritism Forbidden. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there," or "Sit on the floor by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, "You have faith, I have deeds." Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, "Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend." You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And now let's turn over to the Psalms. Today we're reading Psalm 119, verses 145 through 160. Cough. I call with all my heart, "Answer me, Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, Save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. Resh. Look on my sufferings and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. Defend my cause and redeem me. Preserve my life according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek out your decrees. Your compassion, Lord, is great. Preserve my life according to your laws. Many are the foes who persecute me, but I have not turned from your statutes. I look on the faithless with loathing, for they do not obey your word. See how I love your precepts? Preserve my life, Lord, in accordance with your love. All your words are true. All your righteous laws are eternal. And now, I wish we could have a drum roll in the background. We are turning to the book of Ezekiel for the very final portion of chapter 48, verses 21 through 35. The areas that remain to the east and to the west of the sacred lands and the city will belong to the prince. Each of these areas will be 8 1/3 miles wide, extending in opposite directions to the eastern and western borders of Israel, with the sacred lands and the sanctuary of the temple in the center. So the prince's land will include everything between the territories allotted to Judah and Benjamin, except for the areas set aside for the sacred lands and the city. These are the territories allotted to the rest of the tribes. Benjamin's territory lies just south of the prince's lands, and it extends across the entire land of Israel from east to west. South of Benjamin's territory lies that of Simeon, also extending across the land from east to west. Next is the territory of Issachar, with the same eastern and western boundaries. Then comes the territory of Zebulun, which also extends across the land from east to west. The territory of Gad is just south of Zebulun, with the same borders to the east and west. The southern border of Gad runs from Tamar to the waters of Meribah at Kadesh, and then follows the brook of Egypt to the Mediterranean. These are the allotments that will be set aside for each tribe's exclusive possession. I, the Sovereign Lord, have spoken. These will be the exits to the city. On the north wall, which is 1.5 miles long, there will be 3 gates, each one named after a tribe of Israel. The first will be named for Reuben, the second for Judah, and the third for Levi. On the east wall, also 1.5 miles long, the gates will be named for Joseph, Benjamin, and Dan. The south wall, also 1.5 miles long, will have gates named for Simeon, Issachar, and Zebulun. And on the west wall, also 1.5 miles long, the gates will be named for Gad, Asher, and Naphtali. The distance around the entire city will be 6 miles. And from that day, the name of the city will be, "The Lord is there." That last sentence is a wonderful one to end on. The city that Ezekiel envisions is called "The Lord is there," His presence with His people. Does it remind you of anything? It reminds me of the fact that we have the Holy Spirit's presence with us even now, and also the recreated heavens and earth where God will dwell among His people. And we all long for that day of recreation. Thank you for listening along as we have finished the book of Ezekiel. What a joy to be along with you on this adventure of reading God's Word together. Today is Missions Monday, and so we want to highlight our mission partner, Grace House Ministries. Did you know that there are over 2,500 Alabama girls in foster care each year? Grace House has been providing stable Christian homes for some of these girls in foster care. They have a residential campus in Fairfield, Alabama. They're asking us to pray for smooth transition for girls who are coming into the home, for the girls to know the Lord Jesus as Savior, and to find their identity in Christ, and also for the growth of their ministry. They're purchasing some vans and acquiring 3 additional homes along Farrell Avenue in Fairfield. So would you pray with me? Father, thank you for the reminders in your word that we are not left as orphans, that you care for us, and we are called as your people to be about the work of caring for widows and orphans, as it just said yesterday in the book of James chapter 1. We pray, Lord, that you would help us as a church to find great delight in supporting Grace House. We ask, Lord, for the women and men who work there and also for the children who are a part of this ministry. We pray that they would know the love of Christ, they would experience acceptance and all that Grace House has to offer, and that you would provide for them as they seek to expand the ministry by getting new vehicles and acquiring new homes where they can house more women and children. We pray, Lord, that your name would be glorified in their midst and in ours as well. We love you and we pray all of this in Christ's name. Amen.